All right. Now, I am also the kind of pastor that believes in missions, and I believe in having those people come up and share what they're going to do and what they believe God has for them. And I believe in giving to that and sowing seeds into that. And when they come back, I also believe that it's very important to have them come and share what God has done through them. So we can actually hear the answers to the prayers that we sent up. And so at this time, I'm going to have Robert Canoon. Would you come forward, please? And we're going to give it over to Robert, and he's going to share. He spent the last 9 months or so in Afghanistan and Kuwait, serving as a chaplain in the Army and the Marines. And you know, they're all part of the armed forces, but there's sometimes the Navy guys don't get along with the Army guys, and the Army guys don't get. So he's Army and Marines. So don't mess with this guy, all right? Just a word of warning.
Well, before you go, brother, I'd like to do the presentation. Is that right? Perfect. So when we were downrange, Jim and Belinda sent us a flag, two flags actually, one that everybody was very willing to fly and be seen with and pictures with, and one that not everybody was wanting to be seen with. But we did both. And so you might see some pictures will be rolling when I talk, but this flag was flown in the chapel in TQ, and we took pictures with it with a few of the troops around. And so we're going to have those pictures given to you. And then the commander, Colonel Douglas, the camp commander, did a certificate. He said, this certifies that the accompanying American flag was flown over Camp Manion, Al-Takadam in the Al-Anbar province, Iraq, during Operation Inherent Resolve on 7 January 2016 to 5 March 2016. Signed by C.J. Douglas, this flag is dedicated to New Hope Christian Center.
Cool. You want to describe the other one?
Go ahead and describe the other one, Rob.
The other one is the Seattle Seahawks flag that's in that too. And also a little gift for Jim, something that I lived on for a few months, an MRE.
I can't wait.
Meal ready to eat.
Vegetarian too, that's wonderful.
I'm looking out for your health. Thank you, Jim. Praise the Lord. We did a little singing today, didn't we? A little praise and worship to the Lord. And we said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, didn't we? Psalm 150 begins and ends with that line. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everybody take a breath. We need him, don't we? We are needy people, aren't we? We need the Lord, and he answers. He's faithful. So today, I just want to say good morning. I want to say that it's good to be home. It's good to be home, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with his people. And so I just want to say to you, number one, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to try and see faces, just not some blanket thank you, but I'm thanking you. I'm looking you in the face and saying thank you for your prayers. They were answered. I'm going to talk a little bit about today about how they're answered, but I thank you greatly for your prayer support. Downrange, we had that hedge of protection. And we knew that was an answer to the prayer support we had back home. So if you'll allow me, I'd also like to pray for you. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Lord, we do praise you. Let everything that's in us, everything we have, Lord, every breath, bring you honor and glory. We praise you now. We thank you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for New Hope Christian Center, Lord, for everyone here. I ask for a blessing upon them as they were a blessing to us serving downrange, for the hedge of protection you provided us, Lord. As you answer the prayers of your saints. I just thank you, Lord, for everyone here today and everyone who's a member and part of this church. I ask, Lord, that you would just continue to use us for your glory. And today, Lord, we just ask that everything I say today would point to you. Everything that we do and say today would bring you honor and glory. And, Father, just reveal what you have done in the last few months, Father, with the prayers of your people. Lord, you're so faithful. So we just thank you for this time. We give it to you and ask that, Lord, you would just use it for your kingdom. We trust you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to thank you, and I also want to thank my family. My family. I have worked with soldiers, Marines, and airmen for the last 9 months or so, and so many times it's a Dear John we used to say letter, right? Dear John, text, breakups of family, all the money being spent, all the problems they face downrange. And so I just want to thank my family, my mom, my wife, my son, there's Connor right there, my son Derek, mom and Tim, Susan, my whole family who's just been so supportive. I couldn't have done this for 25 years without them. So, and a special thank you to Susan. Susan, thank you, honey. I love you. She's been a military wife. If you want to know what a military wife looks like, there she is, 25 years. This summer will be 26. The last 12 as a chaplain, I've been deploying and mobilizing almost every year, at least every other year as a chaplain. So thank you, honey. Well, I just want you to know that this third deployment, coming home, has been challenging. Coming home has been challenging. Even though in my mind I'm like, I've done this before, I've done this two times before. Coming home, it's going to get easier. It's old hat. And it's not. And so last Sunday, sitting back there about where Aaron's sitting, I was here in body, but my mind was in another world. And so I just want you to know, 3 weeks ago, these feet were standing in Iraq. And it was a little bit of a challenge coming back because I believe in what we're doing. And I believe in the military ministry supporting those who are doing the tough job. And so 3 weeks ago, standing in Iraq, and then coming back is challenging. And it never changes. Every time coming back has its particular hardships. But I want you to know, coming back, being welcomed by my family, even though I flew in at midnight, thanks for being there, and then being welcomed back by the church body, this makes it easier. So if you know someone coming back, do that for them. Wrap your arms around them. Love them coming home, because they need it. Some of them aren't coming home to healthy families. And some of them are coming back and saying, where'd the money go? And where's my wife? So wrap your arms around them. I want you to know the 125th Chaplain Detachment was my chaplain detachment. I've taken him into war twice now. And my assistant this time was the best ever. The best ever. Sergeant Brady and I, you're going to see some pictures of us downrange. His main job is to protect me. But he's also, in this case, a strong believer. That's a gift from God, because not every chaplain assistant is a believer. So I thank God for sending Sergeant Brady with me. And on this third deployment, we were supposed to go to Afghanistan. That was our original goal. Our mission, go to Afghanistan. Prepare to go to Afghanistan to provide robust ministry. And so we got into Kuwait and sat down with the ARCEN chaplain, the Army Central Command chaplain. And he pulled us aside, and we had breakfast with him for a few days. And he just kind of was very inquisitive, asking us a lot of questions. And he said, after about a few days of having breakfast together, he said, Chaplain Canoon, I need you to know we're going to change your mission. And I said, tell me, sir. And he said, we have a request from the C.J. Flick Eye chaplain, that's the Iraq chaplain, requesting for someone to come into TQ. 70 days before, they had just stood up TQ. 71 days before, there was no base there. It was completely unmanned. And a plane flew in, Marines stepped out, walked in a big circle, and took it. And then 71 days later, me and Sergeant Brady showed up and started ministry there. No chapel, nothing, except for the chow hall. In the chow hall, we were going there sometimes to get MREs, and sometimes it was a hot meal. And it just continued to get better from there. I saw God doing big things, and I'm going to tell you about three of them. So after we got those orders, we went up there, and he called it the tip of the spear. The going into TQ was the tip of the spear. And he was right. We were 6 miles, in some cases 6 miles from the front. When you think about Fallujah, which we were doing partly Fallujah, and 12 to 20 miles, depending on what part of Ramadi, from taking Ramadi. So the Iraqi army, by the grace of God, our mission there, the task force, their mission was to advise and assist the Iraqi army in taking Ramadi back. And when the soldiers, the Iraqi soldiers, were coming in to get surgery by our surgical team, initially they had bullet holes and wounds in their back. And they were getting saved. Thank God for our surgeons, our American surgeons and nurses over there saving their lives. They boosted the Iraqi army and the Iraqi Air Force's morale because they knew if I got shot, I'm going to get some help. But after a few months of working together with this task force, Task Force TQ, the Iraqi army was confident. It's like a bully. Anybody deal with a bully on a schoolyard? And when you're dealing with a bully by yourself, that's not so fun, is it? But when you know you got a big, strong friend back here, in this case, the United States, when you got a big, strong friend backing you up, you're more willing to take that enemy on. take that bully on. And that's what we did. Boosted their confidence, advised them, assisted them, and Ramadi is now ours. We own it. Us and our coalition, we're there. And now we're taking on Fallujah. And so I ask for your continued prayers as the next task force takes Fallujah back. So, a few notes I want to walk through. Just saying, number one, chaplains have a motto. The chaplain corps has a motto. It's bringing God to soldiers and soldiers to God. And I took that and wrapped my heart around it, and I couldn't go around saying soldiers. I couldn't go around saying it. This was given to me by a senior chaplain in Fort Lewis, and it says, living our call, loving our soldiers. And that's on my heart. I want you to know that. But I had to revamp for a multi-branch, all-branch, multinational task force. I couldn't go around saying soldiers, could I? Because we had airmen there. We had Navy corpsmen there. We had Marines there. So I changed it to bringing God to the task force and task force members to God. I didn't care who they were. It didn't matter. If they were civilian, they came to the chapel. And I'll tell you one, Shibley was one of our translators, one of our interpreters. And he came to me, and he's Muslim. Am I going to turn him away because he's not an American and because he's not of my faith? No. So Shibley and I talked and prayed over a loss of one of his family members. And a big question on his heart was, is my brother in heaven? Great conversation, powerful conversation. He asked me to pray over him and his family. And then the next week, he and I and a team did a KLE. KLE stands for Key Leader Engagement. And Shibley, because of our connection, he knew what a chaplain does. And so when we met with one of the generals, the Iraqi Army generals, they asked, him and his staff said, what's a chaplain? And he said, chaplain, they're asking, what do you do? And I said, Shibley, you know what I do. Just tell them. And he talked for about a minute. And then when they were all done, when he was done, they were kind of nodding. And then they went like this. He just kind of bowed. And in their culture, a spiritual leader is all types of leaders. In their culture, a spiritual leader is not just in the church, not just in the mosque. They're a military leader too. They're a cultural leader, they're a social leader, community leader, military leader. And so they had no idea what an army chaplain does. But that was an opportunity for Shibley, not just to experience it, but to share with them and to have that kind of connection with them. And that's one of the things that I strive to do in every setting is make connections with people, to love on them, let the light of Christ shine through me. And so when the general then passed out water, fruit and water, and we're talking, one of the big things to talk about with them initially, before you talk any business, is to talk about family. And so I just talked to them about his family. And then as he gave us water, I said, sir, talking through Shibley, I said, sir, thank you for the water. Water represents life. And he smiled, and he said, chaplain, talking to me through Shibley, he said, in this part of the world, water is life. And I said, yes, sir, just like this water represents life, so does our partnership is life-giving. And he beamed, and that set the whole stage for the rest of the meeting where they talked about some business. And I was just thankful to be a part of that key leader engagement impacting the Iraqi army and our business with them. And our business with them is taking out evil. Dealing with evil, George Bush used to call it bringing justice, right? Bringing justice to people. And that was our business with them. So that was one example. When we flew, I want you to know, I had many signs from God that he wanted us there. Not Afghanistan, not staying in Kuwait doing a garrison ministry. And I like garrison ministry, but this is a wartime ministry. This is everything I've trained to do for the last few decades. This is everything I've trained to do. Garrison ministry is one thing. I love doing chapel services, and that's great. But this ministry with a joint task force, even though we barb each other and tease each other, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guards, we tease each other. But when we get downrange, anyone who's got that flag on, that American flag, you're my brother, you're my sister, let's go do this. So this is what I've trained for, and I had a few signs knowing that this is where God wanted me because I flew out of Kuwait. I went into Baghdad, And I'll share one story from Baghdad, trying to get out of Baghdad and get into the ministry we were designed to do and called to do in TQ. And we didn't leave. And I was sitting there on the flight line saying, Lord, what is going on, Lord? Why are we still sitting here? And then another chaplain walked by. I didn't know it was a chaplain at that time. And his head was low. He looked bummed out. And I said, hey, what's going on? And he said, hey. And he saw my cross. He said, chaplain. And when he turned, I saw his cross. I said, chaplain. And he and I just had a great talk for a half hour. Went to the chow hall. Had another great talk for about an hour. And at the end of that, he and I both left encouraged. Iron sharpens iron. Amen. Iron sharpens iron. It's God's timing. And guess what? Right after that, our plane is ready to go. We left in a lightning storm. A lightning storm. And the range is 5 miles. If it's within 5 miles, you can't go. Everything shuts down. And I was teasing some of the pilots saying, don't civilians fly in lightning storms? You're not a civilian. You should be able to fly in a lightning storm. And so I just teased him. He said, where's it at? It was just outside the 5 mile perimeter. And he said, let's go. And so we flew out in a lightning storm and we landed in a sandstorm. And I just said, God's not going to let anything stop us. God is so good, isn't he? So good. He's just, if he's called you to something, he's not going to let anything stop you from accomplishing what God has for you to do. Amen? Amen? Not a lightning storm, not a sandstorm, nothing. Not even doubt. How about doubt? Anybody doubt sometimes? Any doubting Thomases in the room? I'll tell you, not even doubt. Nothing will stop you from doing what God's called you to do. And we landed. And I asked one of those combat landings. Anybody heard about that? Just a high drop. Anybody experienced one of those? Yeah. You feel like your stomach's there. And I said, oh, we're here. I knew we were here. And so when we stepped out, I just began to thank God for bringing us there. And I said, God, everywhere I set my foot, let it be blessed. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. And he will use that and did use that to what my goal was, make connections. Make connections for many reasons, but one was to stand against suicide, stand against thoughts of suicide. And so making those connections to me was extremely important. And I'll tell you three times, I'm not going to get into the details, but three times God used us to stop people from hurting themselves. And I just thank God for that. If that was the only three things that happened in that 8 months in that country, in Iraq, I'd say, thank you, God, for sending me. That's enough. But there's hundreds of stories. Those are three out of 700-plus counseling sessions. You think about it, I would need to be more approachable than ever before for someone to say, I'm thinking of doing something harmful, and that's embarrassing enough, but to be approachable to say, I need to talk to you. One soldier, day one, we got there, day one, one of the corpsmen said, chaplain, we need you to come over here. We got a soldier you need to talk to. And that was the first one. And it just continued to go from there until the day we left. So three ways that I wanted to be approachable and three ways I wanted to reach people was large shot groups, medium shot groups, and small shot groups. And so I'll just tell you a few of each. One-on-one. Those small shot groups, so important. Someone said the other day when we were over at Jim's, I said, oh, this is where the cool kids are. Who said that? This is where the cool kids are at, right? And so I want you to know there's a outside the chapel that God helped us stand up because most of our preaching was initially in the chow hall. And the commander who was so supportive, and that's one of our shot groups, command and staff meetings, that's a medium shot group. Where else do you have commanders, the people in authority making decisions, and his staff where they have to listen to you, right? Command and staff, I loved them. And so we just stepped into this situation, right, where these shot groups were being used, and one of them was a gazebo out in front of the chapel, with the only place you could get the free Wi-Fi on the camp, and so everyone huddled right there in front of the chapel, and once they realized that there was goodies in the chapel, thank you for everyone who sent care packages, we had thousands of care packages, that was one of my assistant's tedious jobs, opening and filtering through all the care packages, and then people knew that those goodies were in there. In the chapel, and they came in, and I strategically set them way back, so they had to walk all the way in. They had to walk past the altar, walk past the cross, and get to the goodies. And so I would walk out to that gazebo and say, oh, this is where the cool kids hang out, right? And I would get some time with them and just make them know, number one, their chaplain was approachable and that I wanted to make connections with them. And it worked. By the grace of God, it worked. And 700-plus counseling sessions, that's the one-on-one, the small group, small shot group. Command and staff was powerful. The commander said, when I first got there, and there was an Army first sergeant working for this Marine task force, and he said, sir, chaplain's here, and we want to incorporate him into the command and staff meeting, and he said, put him up first. Put him up first. A lot of commanders make you wait till the end. You go last. He said, put him up first. So every day when we did command and staff, up on the slide was my slide with a thought of the day and a verse of the day. If you don't mind, I'll just give you one that I gave to him and to his staff. And so this was the bub on 1/11/2016. I'm going to pretend that you are the command and staff, okay? Command and staff. So I said, good evening, sir. Good evening, everybody. Today, the thought of the day is prevail. Prevail. And sir, President George W. Bush said this way in 2001, may God always bless America in all ways, and may God protect our warriors. We will not waver. We will not tire. We will not falter, and we will not fail. Peace and freedom will prevail. George W. Bush. I said to him, sir, this type of resolve is what we need to finish strong here in our mission and finish strong here in our deployment. This resolve to prevail is not found in I, is it? It's not found in I, doing it yourself. This kind of resolve is primarily found in we. We must do this together. And this ties into our scripture for today out of Hebrews 12:1. Let us also lay aside every weight, every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Amen. Sir, God has set this race before us here, and he will give us the endurance to prevail. Pending your questions, sir. And he'd say, thank you, chaplain, no questions. And then I would talk about morale, maybe some events that are coming up, whether it's Christmas or Easter, and different events that we did, and then I would sit down. And that was how we started every command and staff. The impact there, I can't tell you the full impact. I don't think I'll know the full impact. The closing statement that the colonel said to me as he was leaving, Colonel Douglas, as he walked away, I said, sir, how are you doing? He said, chaplain, I'm not doing good. He was hours from his flight leaving. And he just hugged me, and he just said, chaplain, we're not going to know the full impact of what you did here until we get to heaven. And I said, he said, I'm not good with goodbyes, so I'm just going to say see you later. And I said, sir, we're not going to know the full impact of what this task force did in Iraq until heaven. And so that was a powerful moment, just knowing that the commander and I made that kind of connection, and that God wanted me to do a ministry from the top down. From the top down, and that he, God, number one, made this happen, but this commander allowed me to do that, is amazing, because we were the only ministry team there, the only one. And so we worked 18, 19 hours a day. How do you do that? By trusting God. He helped us prevail. He helped us with that endurance. So the last kind of shot group is the large shot groups, talking to hundreds of soldiers, hundreds of Marines, hundreds. And so you just get opportunities when they ask you to do briefings, whether it's redeployment briefings or ACE briefings. ACE is suicide awareness briefings, ask, care, escort. And you get a chance to talk to hundreds of them. And so I never force anything. I don't think Jesus forces himself on me or on you. And I think people are loved into the faith. So I always offer things. And so if the commander ever asked me to pray in command staff, I would. But in the large shot groups, I always offered it. And I say, if you're willing, I'm going to open today in prayer. And just give them that free exercise of religion. If they want to join me, I'm praying. Please feel free to join me. And so one story I'll tell you about running to bunkers. Running to bunkers in TQ when the alarms went off and you had 10 to 15 seconds to get to a bunker. That was that safe time period, 10 to 15 seconds. And everyone had their body armor on, 60, 70 pounds of extra weight, and trying to get your Kevlar on, the alarms are going off. And it was a kind of a hectic moment. But I want you to know that when we ran to those bunkers and I got inside, on one day we had two alarms go off back to back. So the all clear happened. We came out again. The alarms went off again. The First time, there was no explosions. Second time, explosions everywhere. And so they found the range, if you know what I mean. They were close. And so we're running back in, and I'm just praying, Lord, protect us. And as we get into that bunker, the fuel farm, some of you saw the fuel farm go off. It was 50 meters away from us, not even. And so inside there, and that fuel, you can see it outside the hangar. The hangar was where we most of us ran to. And one door was open and one was closed. And so they're all huddling against the side of the hangar, 70, 80 of the task force members. And I could just see the fear in their eyes. And so I just spoke loud. And God just grabbed me and I just stood up. And because we're all huddled against that wall, waiting for the barrage to be done. And I said, guys, God is our mighty fortress. No matter what the enemy throws at us, he's our strong tower. If you're willing, join me in prayer. And I just said a quick prayer for a hedge of protection from God. And when I said amen, all of their heads were bowed. I said amen, lift my head up, and all their heads were bowed. And I went out there, and I don't know if you saw the picture, but my hand out there. And I walked out there. And I had my Kevlar on for a while, but then I just took it off because I wanted people to know, number one, that barrage is over. Number two, I trust the Lord. And I put my soft cap back on. And I walked over, and these guys, a lot of them were huddled in a bunker. And they said, is it safe? And the all clear had already been sounded. I said, yeah, it's safe. And I just knelt. They weren't moving. So I knelt down with them, said a prayer, and said, come on, let's get back to it. And I walked over to the flames where that had hit. And I just put my hand out, and I said, God, thank you that this could only come so far. This could only come as close as you allowed it, Lord. And he protected us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your prayers. He protected us. As I wrap up today, I just want to say, God is good. God is so good. So on my notes here, I said, present the flag and certificate. That's done, right? I said what the CO told me. Running to bunkers. Okay, here's the part I want to tell you, that a Marine came to me later that day after I went around and checked on everyone on the base. When I got there, we were just under 400 people. When I left 3 weeks ago, we were over 800. And the connection there, the community, everyone who came through, every chaplain that came to visit me, every leader that came to visit us said, there's something different about this base. There's something different about TQ. And it was the community. It was the connection we had. It was the togetherness. This Marine came to me later that night. And he said, chaplain, I'm not a praying man. But today, in that hangar, when you prayed, I joined you in that prayer. And his faith over the next few months skyrocketed. And he had us praying for his wife. He had us praying for his family. He had us praying for his job, his next assignment. He became a man of prayer right there that day, and I thank God for that. I thank God for that. And that's just one example. That's one example. A friend of mine, my office was right next to his. Spent time talking every day. We're talking, right? And I know God is not a God of coincidence, is he? He put me right next to this man's office. We spent the entire deployment side by side, getting to know each other, and I won't say his name, but I will say this. He lost 4 family members during the deployment. 4. On his side and his wife's side. 4. And every time I tried to encourage him to get a Red Cross message and encourage him to go home. And he wouldn't go home. And he stayed. And one day when we got attacked, he got caught out in the open, probably 20 seconds away from a bunker. And he sprinted. He sprinted into the bunker. Later, after we prayed, then the all clear sounded, and he came over, and he just wrapped his arms and said, chaplain, I've never felt so alive. Interesting, huh? I've never felt so alive. And the conversations that ensued from there were just amazing. And so these are just examples of hundreds of stories I could tell you. I'm not going to tell you anymore, I don't think, okay? But I do want to know that the FST there, the Forest Surgical Team, every time they had people rotate through that were people of faith, amazing things happened. And I guess I am going to tell you one more. There was an Iraqi Army soldier who was dying And they brought him in. They put him under anesthesia, did the surgery, saved his life. Saved his life. But then they were having trouble. I was in there. They were having trouble bringing him out of the anesthesia. And they were concerned. It was going on and on. They were concerned that he may die now because of the anesthesia. And the doc just kind of did this to me, right? What do guys do? Just kind of nod, right? He just kind of nodded at me, and I was across the room, and I came over, and he didn't have to ask. He came to my chapel services. I knew what he wanted. I just put my hand on the nurse, on the back of him and the back of his nurse, and we just prayed. Can you imagine that? A Christian chaplain praying with the doctor and the nurse over an Iraqi army soldier. Wow, right? And within 10 seconds, he came out of that anesthesia. Within 10 seconds, he came out of that anesthesia. And those guys, they're going to be telling that story more than I'll tell that story. That doctor. But he just gave me the nod. And so I call that being sensitive to each other, being aware of each other. He didn't have to yell. He didn't have to say, "Chaplain, will you pray for me?" And an awareness of what we need. We're needy people, aren't we? Remember that breath? Take a breath. We're so needy. But we need to be sensitive to what each other needs. And so being aware, having that connection already made, being aware of what he needed and paying attention, and God answered that prayer. And that Iraqi soldier is alive today. He came out of it, and they checked him. He was good. They put him on the ambulance and sent him back. And so I just thank God for those kind of situations where I knew that God had used us for his glory. So as I close today, I just want to say, number one, thank you for allowing me to do this. Allowing me to do this. I give God all the glory for calling me. But when I'm sent and my family allows me to do this, right? And I'll tell you what, my sons, sometimes they have to do without me. And that's a hard thing. My sons, Derek said to me one time, "Dad, we just kind of got used to you being gone." Oh, pull that out, right? Pull that out. It hurt. But I realized that this ministry takes sacrifice. Serving God in any capacity takes sacrifice. And so I just thank you for wrapping your arms around my wife and my son, because that gave me strength, knowing that they were taken care of, knowing that you, New Hope Christian Center, and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ had your arms around them, strengthened me to do this. Please close with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. Lord, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We love you. Lord, we thank you that we know what love is because you first loved us. Lord, I ask for your continued blessing on those who are serving downrange right now. Lord, you'd be with them in a powerful way. Watch over them. Father, you are our strong tower that we can run to in times of trouble. And as we sang earlier, Lord, you are our very present help in times of need. Lord, we thank you for strengthening us, equipping us, and that, Father, you do the calling. You've done it. You will do it, and you are doing it. And we trust you with all of it, Lord. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob, for sharing. Appreciate that. And you know what? God will use anything, anybody, to bring people to himself. Even a mortar lobbed at your camp, he'll use it. He'll use it. And you know what? He also uses us. He wants to use us to reach out. Like Rob said, to connect, make connections. When Jesus met with people, he made connections with them. He didn't go in saying, "You need to do this and you need to do that." He asked one woman at the well, "Can I have a drink of water?" And that started a conversation, which ended in her having a glimpse of the Heavenly Father. He did that. He made connections with people. And we need to do the same thing. First and foremost, we need to make connections with him. Then we make connections with others so that we can represent him, that we can show people his love. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you brought Robert back safe to us. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to protect our men and women. Continue to send chaplains into the front lines so that they can encourage, that they can lift up, that they can represent your love and all of the things that they go through on a daily basis that those of us who have never served have no idea what it's like. Lord, protect them. Be with them. Reveal yourself to them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. And let them know that they are loved. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time. And we ask a blessing upon all those family, friends, and members of our military who are serving you. Be with them. In your name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. I'm going to ask Rob to stick around just a little bit if any of you have a question. If not, you're dismissed.